Hi, I'm Josh, and welcome to the Wild Nature Photography Podcast, the podcast that talks the art and craft of nature photography. It is the 19th of August, 2023, and this is podcast number 81. And this is going to be a packing list, or I want to talk a little bit about packing for my upcoming trips. I'm leaving Australia now in, just 3 days, not including today. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, 3 days, not including today. So it's time to start packing. I've been thinking a lot about equipment. Actually, these packing lists are getting a little bit easier as photography equipment, especially camera bodies, become more do-it-all machines. I think there becomes less of a need for specialized equipment. At least in my experience, that's the way it seems to be going. So these packing lists might all seem to start a little bit too much the same. We'll just see. I've got some thoughts on it. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm going to pack in a moment. Just a couple of small housekeeping items. First, later today, it's now 11:30 here in Australia, 11:30 in the morning. And later today, I'm doing a presentation to Canberra Photo Connect. This will be a Zoom presentation. It's going to be on how to improve wildlife photography or how to improve your wildlife photography. And it'll run about an hour. It's free. If you want to jump on and listen to that, you can do so. You can register quickly. There's already a link on my blog to register for this. I'm not sure if it's being recorded or not. If it is being recorded, I will get a copy of it and I'll post it to my blog as well. So you'll be able to check it out there as well. I'm just not sure. It's a question I forgot to ask as to whether it's being recorded or not. Often these things are not, but usually, we'll see. We'll see what happens with whether it's being recorded. Certainly if it is, I'll post it anyway. The other small housekeeping item of the day is that I've been talking to my friend Daniel Bergman over in Iceland, and we've decided between us that it's about time that we did a workshop into the interior, the highlands of Iceland. This is something I've wanted to do for a very long time now. I haven't done a dedicated landscape workshop in Iceland for quite some years now. It's probably been at least 5 years. Taking into account the 2 years of lost time in the mix of COVID there. But I think it's been probably 5 years since I did a dedicated landscape trip into Iceland. Now, I have got my extension in Iceland after my Greenland trip. That is next month, September, October, actually. That is a dedicated landscape trip, but that really runs off the back of the Greenland trip. It was really only offered to participants who were on the Greenland trip because we're finishing in the north of Iceland in the largest town in the northern part of Iceland, a town called Akureyri, which is quite some way from Reykjavik. It's the other end of the island, really, north to south. So we are doing an extension for most of the participants on the Greenland trip, which is going to be a landscape trip, which is going to finish up back in Reykjavik a few days later. I think it's like 5 or 6 days later. So that's certainly a dedicated landscape trip. But this new one that Daniel and I have put together for the Highlands of Iceland in September of 2025, so it's literally going to be 2 years away now, is going to be dedicated to landscape photography. The Highlands of Iceland, if you haven't been there before, are absolutely spectacular. They are lunar-like. They are colorful. They are full of rhyolite, oranges and yellows. It's really quite an incredible location. Depending on what part of the Highland region you're going into, we'll actually be going into both the northern and southern parts of Fetlabak Nature Reserve. And I'm looking forward to that because it's going to be a very diverse opportunity, or rather it's a diverse chance to get a number of different photographs because parts of the interior of Iceland are very different. And it's a rarely visited area as well. It gets a little bit of tourism in June, July, but early September is the ideal time to visit because of the low angle of the sun and timing-wise as well. It's not that brutal on the body clock where you're doing sunset at sort of 11 p.m. and then sunrise at 2 a.m. a few hours later. That makes a very punishing schedule. So I'm looking forward to that. I've just put details up on my website today, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well if you want to have a look at that and check that trip out. It's going to be in the first 2 weeks of September 2025. We're only going to take 10 people. As I said, it's going to be dedicated to landscape photography into the interior of Iceland. So check that out if you're interested. So let's come to the topic of the day, which is going to be packing. So I'm packing for 2 months away, basically. So quite a period of time. And the reason it's 2 months away is I'm first flying to Sweden, where I'm going to have a couple of weeks to just relax. Unfortunately, my Slovak passport hasn't arrived as yet, so I am going to have to travel on my Australian passport. I talked about this in my last podcast. It would have been nice to have my Slovak passport and be able to go through Oslo, which is the airport I'm flying into, as an EU citizen. That's not going to be the case, so I'm going to have to count days in Schengen this time, but it will hopefully be the very last time for that. So I do have my citizenship papers, but I don't think those are enough when entering Schengen, and I don't really want to have that conversation with the border guards. It could become quite confusing for them if I've got Slovak citizenship papers traveling on an Australian passport. So I think it's better just to do everything on the Aussie passport this time around, save the Slovak passport for next time. That's the way that's ended up going. It just took a lot longer to get citizenship than I was hoping. I think I talked about this in my last podcast again, but look, it was over a year. It was also very expensive, and I'm still not there in terms of you of having the actual passport, although I've got the citizenship papers. So we're mostly there. So let's talk about the actual packing. So I'm having a couple of weeks in Sweden. Now, it's going to be autumn in Scandinavia when I arrive. And that means the temperature is going to start to be getting a little bit cooler. I know it's been very warm in summer this summer. And temperatures will be starting to drop off a little bit. And I'm going to be quite far north as well. So starting with a couple of weeks in Sweden, then I'm going to be driving over to Finland, taking the car ferry for my Wild Wolves workshop. And from there, I'm heading up a little bit further north to a place that is dedicated for golden eagles and eagle owl. That's an extension to the wolf workshop. So what equipment do I need for both these trips? Well, it's predominantly 600 millimeter work. So obviously, I'm going to be packing my two Canon EOS R3s. Those will be my workhorses for these trips. They're my main workhorse cameras. I love them. I think they're fantastic. In fact, I think it's the best camera Canon has ever made by quite some margin. I'm going to take my 600 millimeter lens. That'll be predominantly the lens that I use for the wolves and the birds. I'm also going to take a 1.4 teleconverter as well. That'll get me out to 840 millimeters. So that's quite a lot of reach. And you need quite a lot of reach in my experience, particularly with birds. You can rarely have enough reach. I struggled with this a lot when I was in Barrow, and I talked about this in my podcast when I wrapped up Barrow, that reach was a real problem for me there. I know in Finland it's less of an issue at both the locations I'm going to, but it is nice to have that reach available. So, and a 1.4 teleconverter doesn't take up too much room in the bag. So that's definitely going. I'm also going to take my 100 to 500 millimeter lens. That's a fantastic in-between lens. So it's very, very good for when the wolves come a little bit closer to the hide. So having one R3 with the 600 millimeter lens on it and one with the 100 to 500 just makes a lot of sense, because it gives me a range from 100 to 600 millimeters or 100 to 840 millimeters if I've got the 1.4 teleconverter on the 600. So that's very, very flexible. That's going to give me the capability to get pretty much anything I want shot wise. It really comes down to a question of, do the wolves put on a show for us? And what sort of light and conditions do we get? Because light and conditions plays a huge part of this, of the end result, rather. You can have fantastic wolf activity, but if it's in really dull, grey, overcast light, it's not so interesting a lot of the time. So I'm hoping we'll get that magic combination of great light with fantastic wolf activity. We'll see. Also a chance for brown bears and wolverine as well, and both those lenses, the 100 to 500 and the 600 millimeter f4 RF lenses, will serve me very well for that. I'm also packing, of course, for my Greenland trip. Now, that's a very different style of trip, where we're going to be based on a ship for the duration of the expedition. We're going to be predominantly photographing landscape from the ship, so it's going to be a lot of icebergs. And zoom lenses are really the key to success in Greenland, in my experience. So I'll have the 100 to 500 because that's coming for Finland. I'm also going to pack my 70 to 200, my f2.8, as well as a 24-105 and a 14-35. So that basically means I'm going to have zoom lenses all the way from 14 millimeters right out to 840 millimeters on the 600 with the 1.4. So very, very flexible. I've pretty much got everything covered in there. Focal length wise, in fact, I do. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be all I need for both of those trips. In fact, probably more than I need, but it's going to be very useful to have all that available. I just find that with shooting icebergs from ships, that the zoom lenses really give that flexibility to get the composition that you want from the ship in the camera, rather than having to crop at a later date. And that 100 to 500 is just about the perfect lens for shooting icebergs from the ship. So I'm very very glad that I've got that lens. I'm very glad I can make that lens, and I'm very glad that that's coming with me as well. And then at the end of that, I've got my Iceland extension for landscape. Now, that is going to be the reason I'm packing a tripod. And in this case, I'm going to take my Gitzo. I've got a GT35, I think it's a 35-33S. It's a three-section Gitzo. It packs down quite small. That was the reason I bought it, was for it packs down very small for travel. I've got a set of Really Right Stuff rock claws for it, which are fantastic little steel feet that are just really great for unusual, precarious tripod positions, if you like. So I'll take those, and I'll take my Arca Swiss D4 geared head as well, and an L bracket for my camera as well. So that'll give me everything I need for landscape opportunities. A cable release, of course, and some split ND and ND filters. And the primary reason for those is, in Iceland, typically the dynamic range between the foreground and the sky is greater than the camera's sensor can capture, because you're quite often shooting basalt, which is black, in the foreground, basalt rock, and the sky is often much, much brighter. So graduated ND filters, a three-stop hard, a three-stop soft, is pretty much all I need. That's probably all I'll pack on this trip. In fact, that is all I'm going to pack. I'm also going to pack both a six-stop and a 10-stop ND filter. I like to use those a lot in Iceland, both for the clouds and for waterfalls as well. So those are going with me. I'm not going to take a full, huge filter kit with me. I just find that I never end up using it. It ends up just being something I've got to schlep around the landscape, and just doesn't get used. I find a three-stop hard, three-stop soft is pretty much all I need to get the job done in Iceland, at least in my experience. And I've done a lot of trips there over the years. That's enough for me. It's really all I need. My filter kit's quite extensive. You know, I've got one-stop, two-stop filters. I've got some reverse grads. I've got some specialist type filters as well, like mist stripes and things like that. I'm not going to pack any of that. I just find I never use it. As I said, it just takes up space in my bag, and it ends up being just extra weight I've got to haul around. And I don't really want to haul around any extra weight if I don't sort of have to. Now, in addition to that, well, I should say all of that's going to pack into all that camera gear anyway is going to pack into my two Pelican cases. So I've got the two Think Tank Pelican cases. These are my preferred way to travel with camera gear through airports, predominantly because I think I talked about this in a podcast, but I just got very tired of putting my soft-sided camera bag in the overhead luggage on planes and having someone else come along and smash their bag in on top of mine. With the hard Pelican case, that's no longer a problem and I don't have to think about it. The bigger of the two cases is on wheels, so I can roll it through the airport very easily. And the smaller of the two cases, the laptop case, actually sits on top of the hard Think Tank case, the larger Pelican style case, and very easily rolls through the airport. So with those two cases, I know my gear is well protected during travel. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. I've got an air tag in each bag, so I know where the two of them are at all times. That's a very, very good investment. And if you're not using air tags for your luggage, I really recommend you think about doing so. It's a fantastic way to know that your luggage made it to the country that you've been traveling to while you're standing there at the conveyor belt waiting for your luggage to come out. And knowing, you can see then and there, okay, yes, it made it to Oslo, or no, it's still in Doha or Dubai or something like that. So it's also handy to be able to tell the airline where the bag actually is if it doesn't make it. So air tags are a great investment, and they're not very expensive. Since they came on the market, I've been traveling with them. My only complaint with air tags really has been that you've got to change the batteries in them fairly regularly. At least I have to, I find, because I'm using them a lot. I don't get that long out of the batteries, maybe 3 months at best. And the batteries are quite expensive. They're those watch-style type batteries that I think they're about 10 bucks each or something like that. They're not that inexpensive. So that's pretty much it from a packing perspective. Because of a few other accessories I'm taking my binoculars. Obviously, I want those for spotting wolves in Finland. I want them for spotting the owls and the golden eagles as well. And, of course, I want them in Greenland for the possibility of polar bears. And given that they're coming for those three trips, they'll be coming with me for Iceland as well. So my Swarovski binoculars are going on this trip as well. I'm taking a few copies of my Never Cry Wolf book, one to leave on the boat, and a couple that I need to pass on to various people while I'm in Europe as well. So I'm not sure yet whether I'm going to fit all my clothing and accessories, et cetera, lens cleaning, cloths, all that sort of stuff, wipes, et cetera,
whether I'm actually going to fit all that in the one duffel bag or not. I'm going to try, but if it's really tight, I think I'll just take a second duffel bag because it's going to be easier to manage in two bags. Well, it's easier to manage with one bag through airports, but and certainly on trips, but shuffling in and out of bags when it's a real pain to close the bag is a bit of a nightmare, and I don't want to have to do that either. So we'll just see how it goes packing-wise. Given it's going to be 2 months I'm away, it's probably going to end up being two bags. It usually is, although I have best intentions to try and get it into one bag. It just doesn't work out that way. So I just want to talk about one other thing, and that is camera bags themselves. So you may have heard me just say that I was, well, you did hear me just say that I was talking about carrying my gear through airports in Pelican cases, but what do I do when I'm in the field? Well, in Finland, when we're doing the Wolf trip, we're really only commuting from where we're staying to the Hides via car. It's a very short walk from the car to the Hides. Maybe it's 20 meters or something like that. So I can just carry my Pelican case into the Hide and set up my camera gear, and it's no problem. And the same applies for the extension for Golden Eagles and Eagle Owl as well. There's no problem with using the Pelican cases. Likewise, on Greenland, we're based on a boat. So I can basically set up my gear inside my cabin, leave it set up. I don't really need to take it anywhere. If we're going on a Zodiac, I'll just take the camera that I want for that particular trip. Otherwise, the camera gear is just going to pretty much live in my cabin. There's no need for a sort of a hiking bag or anything like that. The issue comes to Iceland when I'm traveling in Iceland and I'm doing the dedicated landscape trip as the extension after Greenland. I do need some sort of camera backpack. And what I'm going to do is actually borrow one so that I don't have to take it all the way from Melbourne to Iceland. Now, last time I borrowed one, I ended up wrecking the bag, unfortunately. My friend Daniel loaned me one, a brand new F-stop backpack. I had it on the boat while I was in Greenland. It was sitting underneath the heater, and I actually ended up wrecking it and melting part of it, which I still owe him a camera bag for that. So we're going to see how he feels when I ask him if I can borrow another one after wrecking the last one. I think I better buy him a new one while I'm in Iceland and just fill it with beer or something as a bit of a thank you. I must remember to do that. So I think that's pretty much it packing-wise. There's nothing there that's sort of out of the ordinary for me. As I said, most of the lenses that I'm taking with me are lenses I take on most of the trips that I do these days. They're zooms, and they're zooms because of the flexibility. I actually sold off both my 17mm and 24mm tilt shift lenses. I just found that I was no longer using them. I hadn't used them in quite a number of years, probably 4 or 5 years since I last reached for one of those lenses. And if I do have an issue where I want to use the Schleimflug effect and I want to get infinite depth of field from the foot of the tripod to infinity, I just find that I can use the focus stacking capability nowadays that's built into the Canon EOS R3. And that does the job for me just fine. And I can stack those images together in Photoshop and get the effect that I want. That works very well for me as opposed to having to carry a dedicated tilt shift lens just on the off chance that I might want to use it. I did used to use them a lot, but that was back in the day before Canon made a good wide-angle zoom lens. And nowadays, all of Canon's zoom lenses are extremely good, and there really isn't any need for me to travel with a wide-angle prime lens anymore because of the optical quality needs. The optical quality is already there in the 14-35 zoom lens. It does everything I need. Quality is fantastic. And the flexibility that that gives me is just absolutely brilliant, especially when shooting from ships. And even on landscape trips, actually, it's not always possible to move the camera where you need it to be. So I think that's about it packing-wise. As I said, I'm leaving in 3 days from today, not including today. I'm going via Doha to Oslo, picking up a rental car and then driving over to Sweden. I'm looking forward to that very much. I've been at home now for more than 2 months, so it's been a long, very long stretch for me. But after this period of travel, I have a very, very extensive period of travel. I'll be coming back to Australia for a month before I go down to Antarctica. And then I've got my expedition to Antarctica. At the end of that, I'm going over to Easter Island for a scouting trip. I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to Easter Island. I'll perhaps have more to say about that in another podcast. And then we're into 2024, and that's kicking off very, very early for me on the 3rd of January with my Palace Cadex winter expedition to Mongolia. So there's a lot coming up, and then I'll be pretty much on the road through most of 2024. So it's going to be a very, very busy time going ahead. As always, I'll try and podcast from the road when I can. That just simply comes down to when I can fit it in, unfortunately. That's just the way it goes. But I think that's it for today. We'll wrap it up there. I'm Josh. It has been the 19th of August, 2023, podcast number 81. Look forward to seeing you out in the field. Take care.